You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
Become an authority and thought leader in your niche. Join a free private community of entrepreneurs and professionals looking to grow their business and optimize their performance. Get easy to learn resources and materials that empower your personal and financial success. Easily accessible for free on desktop and mobile app. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to access now. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Welcome back to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast series with Lee Sustiel, co-founder of MPH Club. This is part two. If you haven't heard the first episode, make sure to start there and then come back to this one.
So we're talking about MPH Club, and a lot of people might say, all right, well, he has a bunch of cars. Like, he's set. Like, obviously, people are going to pay attention to him or come see him or whatever, but it wasn't always MPH Club. This is not your first business. Why don't you talk to me about, like, a little bit of your journey, like being a young guy, starting your business, having a vision, and then ultimately ending up with this company that everyone fucking knows.
Yeah. So it started with this kid named Alan.
Okay.
Alan, I was in third grade, and he taps my shoulder. We're in classroom, and he taps my shoulder. I turn around. I'm like, what's up, man? He goes, yo, you want to buy this lollipop? I'm like, no, I'm good. He goes, come on, man. Buy a lollipop. I'm like, all right, how much is it? He goes, 50 cent. I'm like, why? It's 25 cent at the store. And he looks at me and he goes, I got to make a profit, bro. And it just sparked a light bulb in my head.
Fucking Alan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alan.
It sparked a light bulb and I said, ah, that's how you do it. Yeah. Okay. Next day, I came to school with like $3. And I went to the store across the street, picked up as much candy as I can with $3.
Yeah.
Put it in my book bag. By first period, I end up selling everything and doubled my money. My $3 turned to $6. At a kid in third or fourth grade at the time that I was, that was a lot of money.
Hell yeah.
So imagine me doing that almost every day. That worked out a while. I was able to save enough money to buy a DJ set.
Okay.
And that's where that nickname DJ Lee came from.
Okay.
But I used to DJ. This went into middle school, a little bit of high school. I used to DJ and I made some money DJing. My first DJ set was like about $800. Saved up $800. That took me a while. Almost a year to save up $800. I finally did that, and the $800, I did one gig, and I got literally $400 to DJ.
Litty.
So I was blown away. DJ Lee. So I was blown away. I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. So I did my cousin's mom's birthday party, my sister's. I did random stuff. I did weddings, bar mitzvahs, whatever came across. And I started making a little money with there. I ended up buying a car, technically. That was my first big transaction. And from there, I worked for a moving company over the summer. I was still DJing on the weekends, but I worked for a moving company. My father had a moving company at the time, so I worked for his company, and I learned the industry. Literally, over the summer, I learned the whole industry. And I didn't just go there really early every single day, like at 6 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. I had nothing going on. That was my life. I just wanted to learn the industry. And my dad's employees told me, slow down. I'm making them look bad.
Okay, so, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I didn't understand at the time. I actually did slow down because that's what they were telling me. They were older, I was younger. I thought that's what I need to do, but I realized, okay, maybe I am doing a better job, and that's why they're telling me. And I eventually learned the whole industry. Literally after 3 months of learning the industry, coincidentally, the next year, my dad retired. So after his retirement, I didn't know nothing else to do. I only knew moving.
Yeah.
So I was in 10th grade at the time when this happened. 10th grade summer school, 10th grade finished, and I went into summer. I decided to open up my own company.
Okay.
So I started a moving company over the weekend, bought a domain, started a company, started a corporation. And luckily I knew these type of things because of my father who pointed me in the right direction. Now when I opened up the moving company, school was starting in the next month and I kind of didn't want to go back to school. Luckily, my parents were very strict and they did not let me drop out. I was going to drop out of high school, honestly, but they won't let that happen. Once I learned the whole industry and opened the company, I was still working, but going to school at the same time. I was almost skipping every single day, to be honest.
Okay.
So I was barely going to school, but I made my attendance. I barely graduated, but I graduated. I got my diploma. But at the end of the day, I was working. My work ethics were there. I was waking up really early. I was not going out partying. My friends were going out partying. I did not care about flashy clothes or anything in the nature to show off with. I was hustling. I was trying to build a name, trying to build an establishment. I wanted to have an income so I can move out, so I can have my own apartment, so I can own my own house. And my work ethics were just unparalleled. I didn't see my friends acting this way. All my friends were calling me, "Yeah, we're going out, we're partying, we're drinking." It was tempting, but I had to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had responsibilities. I had a couple of employees. I have to make sure they're getting paid every week. I have to make sure they're putting food on their table with their family. So I had responsibilities, and I really enjoyed it because I bonded with every single employee that I had at the time. And I'm talking about this is 10th grade. Now I'm going to 11th grade. 11th grade, I had a 3,000 square foot warehouse, two trucks, and about 15 employees. I was barely going to school. I was working at the moving company, and that was what I wanted to do. I was going to the office in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, open up the office, let the employees go to work, and then go to school to get my attendance, leave second period, and go to my office to continue working. That's what I really wanted to do. And I had the moving company for about five to six years or so. I ended up selling the company. I took a little break because it did put a lot of pressure on my health, my time. And after I sold the company, I opened up a moving directory. I ran that for a couple of years because, again, I only knew about moving. So I opened a directory online where I could work in my underwear from home. So I built a directory. I started learning how to optimize a website, how to build websites. I became very passionate about it and became like a little geek. I wanted to build a website and start optimizing it and start generating leads for the moving industry because that's all I knew at the time. And it worked very well. I did it for a couple of years, and I ended up selling that moving directory as well. After I sold that moving directory, I took a little bit of a break. With that break, I came. My dad needed help with his website, so his business. So he came out of retirement. He teamed up with his own brother to open up a wood flooring company.
I remember that. That's right. That part I remember. Yeah.
Yes. So the wood flooring company was pretty big. It was pretty fun because we met a lot of cool people. You know, like that's what I like to do. I like to meet people. I like to network. So he turned to me and said, "Hey, I need you to build me a website." I'm like, "All right, sure, no problem. Give me 30 days." So I built him a website. A couple months later, he calls me complaining. The phone is ringing off the fucking hook. "What the hell did you do? I'm ranked number one everywhere. I'm getting leads every single day. What the hell did you do? This is amazing." That's his complaint.
Yeah.
So I'm like, "Well, good. Let me see how else I can help you." So I end up getting out of my retirement because I was working from home in my underwear. So I came out of my retirement. I went to my dad's office and we dissected the whole business and put a whole game plan together to present to him to open up 5 locations, expand the fleet, and build a business. Because it was him and his brother, small one location, and they were just selling the actual flooring.
Yeah.
I wanted to actually have installation.
Installation.
I wanted to install. I wanted to have, availability to install anywhere in the Tri-County area. I wanted to grow that business. And I did that for a couple of years. Luckily, we did that and we ended up selling business. And my dad actually did finally retire.
Okay.
I said, "You're done." So in the end of me finishing up the wood flooring company with my father, that's where I wanted to get into my real passion. And that's the exotic cars. I met Brett David at an early age. Brett David is the owner of Prestige Imports at Lamborghini Miami. He is killing it to be the best Lamborghini dealership in America, if not the world. He has a phenomenal used dealership at Prestige Imports. Where I definitely highly recommend, if you have a passion for exotic cars,
you gotta go
check it out.
Yep.
There's a couple Paganis, a couple Bugattis, and a couple Koenigseggs. Any car you could think of on a regular Tuesday.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. So his inventory is insane. I met him at a really young age. My younger sister at the time went to school with Brett, and that's how I met him. There was I'll never forget this. There was a show. What is it called when you do a show? My sister was singing and he did breakdancing.
Like B-boy, like you got served shit.
Yeah, remember that movie? A show in front of the whole school. They're presenting their talents.
Okay,
right?
Okay, talent show. Yeah,
talent show. That's what it was, exactly, a talent show. So my sister was singing, "Oh, cute, no problem." Brett had a little breakdancing, but the funny part about Brett at the time, he had a cast from his wrist up to his shoulder. He had a broken arm. He was like 11 years old at the time, breakdancing with a broken arm. And that's how I met him, because I was breakdancing at the time. And it was pretty cool. We just clicked right there on the spot. But the coolest part of when his dad picked up in a fucking purple Diablo, and I thought that was a spaceship. Yeah. I was blown away. Like, what the hell is that? That's when I had a passion for cars before, but that was my first time actually seeing a Diablo with my own eyes. I was blown away. And his dad picked him up and left. A week later, I ran into him again, and then we exchanged contact, and we became good friends after that. And next, you know, I'm just hanging out with Brett and all these amazing, crazy cars that his dad drives. Yeah. Brett was never allowed to touch the cars. Yeah. He was never allowed to touch them. Up until a certain age, obviously, that turned. But that's where I really got my passion from. And over time, I never let go of that passion. I wanted to somehow get in that industry. I wanted to not be competition with Brett, but somehow compliment Brett.
Yeah.
You know, he sells cars. So I didn't know how I could somehow get involved with that without being competition, because he's my boy. I'm not going to be competition. It's not how it is. So I went back to my jeans, where I'm a little geek inside, and I did some research. I went on my laptop, and for months I've been researching how to get into this. And I finally found that there is a demand for exotic car rentals.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
I didn't even think it was a thing at the time. Like, that's insane. How can you rent a $500,000 car? That doesn't sound normal. It's not normal. Nobody does that. There wasn't too many companies at the time doing it. And I said, all right, fuck it. I'm going to build a directory and let's see what happens. After a couple months of building a directory with a fake facade, pictures and videos, just random shit, and people started coming in with leads and phone calls. And I'm like, all right, this is actually happening. People are actually really interested in this. So at the time, I got together with Stas, my partner at the time. I pitched him the idea. I said, hey, well, this is, what do you think we should do with this? And we came up with the idea of opening up a car rental company, which is only dedicated to high-end exotic cars. And between me and him brainstorming back and forth, we came up with the name MPH Club. We were bouncing some other weird names. We were thinking of Garage Toys and some other stupid names. Thank God we only picked MPH Club. And we grew some balls and went to Brent and bought our first Lamborghini.
Okay. Is that the one we painted on?
That's the one. That was the Gallardo, the Lamborghini Gallardo. But we started the company right before that with, I had a Lexus GS F-Type, mm-hmm. and he added a CLS 63. Yeah, those are cool cars, but we needed an exotic. So we went to Brett, finally bought our first Lamborghini. We rented it a couple times, smooth transactions, and we did well. And up to this day, believe it or not, I still service the first client, Joshua. I'll never forget him.
Nice.
Recently, a couple months ago, he just rented a car from us.
That's amazing, bro.
So
10 years.
That right there taught me something big. Every time I meet somebody, make a connection, save their number, communicate with them, wish them happy birthday. I wish them happy New Year's. You connect them, because at the end of the day, I will do business with somebody I'm familiar with more than I would do some business that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
So with Joshua, he actually rents from us every once in a while, 2 or 3 times a year. And he was our first client. I rented the Gallardo out a couple times. And eventually one client took the car for a month. And that was the biggest transaction for us. That was huge. And with that money that we got for that 30-day rental, we actually took it and doubled down and said, let's go buy another car.
Hell yeah.
So we bought a Ferrari. We bought a 458 Italia. And that was our technically fourth car at the time. And next thing you know, man, every other month or so, we were getting another car and another car and another car and another car. 10 years later, we got over 40 cars in our fleet. And over time, we did evolve to another concept of the business, and I'll get to that in a minute. But the point of this story is, like you mentioned earlier, you met a couple of amazing people, with the people that put you in front of, right? So same thing with me. I always land in front of people or someone, they get brought into my attention, and I like to make a connection, make a relationship, because you never know whatever they can bring to my table in the future or even now.
Yeah.
So that's a really good lesson that I learned.
Bro, first of all, that's great that you shared that with me, because I didn't know a lot of those things about you, and I spent a lot of time with you. Second of all, my love for cars has a connection with Brett. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Bay Harbor with my mom, and we always went to Costco across the street.
Yeah.
every time my mom drove to Costco, I would be glued to the window looking at Prestige Imports.
Yep.
Like glued and looking at it. And then what I would do is when I would get to Costco or Walgreens or Target when we would go, I would buy DuPont Registry. Mm-hmm. And I would just like circle the cars or cut out the cars that I loved. And then that was just a thing of me being a kid. I did the same thing. I sold candy in school. I did all of these things. I didn't have a crazy ass business in high school. You were crazy. You're an alien from another planet. But to get to the point, my love for cars started with Prestige Imports. Yep. And it's funny because it's with you, you knew Brett's dad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Fast forward a few years later, you and me are doing an event and Brett and DuPont Registry are supporting the event, which is the event that we did in the parking garage,
mm-hmm,
right? Now, at around that time, about a year before we started working together, I was working at Pizza Hut, right? And I was the manager at the Pizza Hut in Hollywood. And I was doing my thing. I was there for a little bit. And I had this guy, Tony. Tony was about like 70 years old, the driver, retired, got bored at home and said, fuck it. I'm going to deliver pizzas. He didn't need to. He didn't need the money, but I'm going to deliver pizzas. So whatever. One time I'm with Tony and he's like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm starting this company, you know, called Vintage Works. And we're going to do all these car events and this car meets. And I'm really trying to get this guy, Brett David, to support my event. And blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know Brett back then. You know, we're cool now. And I met Brett through you. And we've known each other for a minute, but I didn't know him. And I was trying to find a way to get his attention. And he's like, wait a second. Did you just say Brett David? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I knew his grandfather. I'm in Pizza Hut. And this is the driver that's delivering pizzas. And I'm trying, like, you get me? Oh, this guy's full of fucking shit. Because he was always saying things. You get what I'm saying? And I'm like, I really listened to him. But I was like, what are the real odds that he worked with Brett's dad? The next day, he shows up to work and he shows me a business card. And he's like, look, Brett's grandfather designed this.
Grandfather or father?
Was it grandfather or father?
So Brett's dad is Irv?
I don't think it was Irv, bro.
So it was, whoa.
I think it was his grandpa, bro. This guy knew his grandpa. Bro. Okay. It wasn't Irv.
Okay.
So he gives it, he's like, me and Brett's dad designed this business card. And he's like, I still have a box of them.
No way.
And he's showing me this and I'm like, get the fuck out. I'm like, can I have it? And he's like, yeah, you could have it. So what do? I get in my hoopty, no air conditioning, in Miami, paint peeling off, and I drive my ugly ass car to Prestige Imports. And I literally walk right in. And I'm like, yo, is Brett here? And Brett's always been like the coolest guy. I've literally seen Brett talk to homeless people in there. And he's super nice to everyone. I was like, fuck it. So I'm like, bro, listen, I know this sounds fucking crazy, but this guy told me that he knew your grandpa. And they designed this logo together and this business card or whatever. He's like, oh, for real? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I brought it. So I give it to Brett. And that was like, he was like blown away. And I was blown away because I'm trying to get connected with him. And I have a piece of his like
history
from a guy in Pizza Hut that's one of my employees. And I work at Pizza Hut. He's like, whatever. From that day, we connected. And then a year and a half later, 2 years later, I find out that you and him are friends. So then we start working together and he sees me. So all of these things, like, it's crazy because you never really know where you're going to end up. And a lot of people get really stressed out about things not panning out for them exactly how they're going to be. But bro, you did a moving company, you did a flooring company, and then like you hit the jackpot with this. You may have made money in the other ones, but this is the jackpot because this is what you're really passionate about and you were able to make a business out of it. But not only that, you were able to do it without stepping on your boy's toes, right? And I think that's beautiful. And that's the purpose that I wanted to do this podcast, because this podcast is all about nurturing your relationships. Who are you surrounding yourself with? How are you bringing them value? How are they bringing you value? Are you expecting things immediately? Are you really helping people out? Like when I first got here, like you said, I was all over the place, but you never limited me, right? Any crazy idea I had, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you would refine it and polish it a little bit and be like, let's do it. Let's go. And I think that you need to go look for people like that, because it doesn't need to be lonely. And I talk about it a lot here. Entrepreneurship can be lonely because sometimes like there's things you can't tell other people or staff or just things that you're waiting on, like big secrets of the company or certain accomplishments or certain setbacks. And when you have a group of people who support you, whether they're your business partners or not, or people that you could just rely on for advice, I think that's something that you need to drop your ego sometimes and stop being so prideful and allow people to help you.
Correct.
Because you helped me a lot, but then again, I helped you and I was just a little shit. Look at all the amazing things that you've been able to do, and look at all the amazing things I've been able to do. So guys, if you're listening to this right now and you could take one big takeaway, is wake up tomorrow and go do right by people. go find something that you love and something that you're passionate about and just get your feet wet. Because I wasn't always meant to be a Pizza Hut manager or maybe marketing director somewhere. But if I wouldn't have been marketing director at MPH Club, I wouldn't have been maybe given the opportunity to be marketing director at hgreg.com. I was the national marketing director. If I wasn't able to be national marketing director there, I wouldn't have been able to be the chief marketing officer of Metro Group. Right. If I wouldn't have been able to be the chief marketing officer of Metro Group, I wouldn't be a global consultant for Doc.com. And you've met the guys from Doc.com. I brought them here. So it's all a chain of events and a chain reaction that you may not realize it because you're so in your head. But there's something truly going on that as long as you follow a path that makes you happy and a path that you're doing something that you love and you're doing right by people, eventually things are going to line up for you because there's no such thing as luck. Luck is only when hard work meets opportunity. And if you're putting a lot of hard work, it only takes one person to walk through that door to change your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what it really was. When you showed up to my car meet to film that video, that's when really things took off and all of these things were able to happen. So Lee, bro, I want to thank you for jumping on the podcast. People are going to have a lot to listen. This is probably going to be a two-parter. The last two parters are Grant Cardone, Chris Foss, and a few other people that we have on the podcast, which were pretty cool. But I felt like this episode deserved the two-parter because we've talked about a lot of cool things. And I don't see a lot of people being grateful to people that have helped them out in the past. Everybody always wants to, you know, pretend that they're self-made or nobody ever helped me and I had to do this on my own. And yes, maybe no. I am self-made and, you know, I've done a lot of things on my own, but just like you, Lee, and Stoss, of course, we didn't mention Stoss. You started MPH Club with Stoss. Mm-hmm. And Stoss is also one of my mentors. So much love to Stoss, much love to you and the rest of the team for helping me be who I am today, bro. You guys grabbed me at 18 years old, had no idea what the fuck I was doing. I'm about to turn 27 years old. And I've been able to do a lot of amazing things, man. That's the age you were when I started working with you.
Yes.
You were 27 years old.
Nice.
And now I'm 27.
Wow. Bro.
You old bastard.
I'm talking to you and I'm just visualizing the old office that we had over there at Orion Jet Center. It was a sick office.
It was a sick office. It was a
cool experience. We did some fun
You made me do some crazy shit, bro.
I still do some crazy shit today. I just told a story about a fucking tiger sitting on my nuts.
Yeah. What the fuck? You were kicking people with Steve Aoki and shit.
Yes, we've done that. I've seen it all, man. The crazy story I done with Vitaly.
Vitaly was up in with Doc Antle, right? That's part of the Tiger shit that you guys did?
That's how he got connected, actually, yes. So when I saw him do that, I told him, bro, you got to connect me. This guy is crazy. And between him trying to connect you, I think I dropped the ball somewhere. Then Robert picked it up because
Robert.
Yeah, shout out to Robert. So he made actually the connection with the photographer there. And when he brought to my attention, I was blown away. He's like, hell yeah, we're going to go visit them for sure. I had nothing. I didn't know that they were doing anything with Netflix. So we did this whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole thing happened. And then literally we started dropping a couple cool pictures and videos. And then a week later, Netflix dropped a series.
I remember.
Oh my God.
I remember.
And then I was like, what?
Yeah.
That was insane. That was pretty cool.
It was, hey, so Lee, where can we find you on social, man? Where can people find you? I know, obviously MPH Club. Look mm-hmm. it up anywhere. You'll find it. But personal?
Yeah. So everybody calls me Lee. It's much easier to pronounce. My first name is Liram. My last name is Sustiel. Mm-hmm. But everybody calls me Lee. My socials are Liram Sustiel.
Okay, cool. Guys, make sure to check that out. If you didn't catch that, check the show notes for History of MPH Club. You'll see a bunch of videos of me like at 19 and 20 years old doing crazy shit with Lee. Remember, relationships are extremely important. Be grateful to the people who have been good to you and surround yourself with people who uplift you because hustle inspires hustle. See you guys on the next episode.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuinn. See you on the next episode.